Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is the Lamp and Light broadcast coming to you from Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry that takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is, to men as they are, without compromise or apology, while at the same time speaking the truth in love, giving the lamp and light to all. Yesterday in our study of 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, we were talking about the two different types of Christian, the Christian who does what he can to live for Christ, and those who live a life so that you cannot tell whether they are or are not Christians. Let's continue with that thought today. And now, here's our teacher and radio pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
There are people who remind us of 1 John chapter 3, verses 2 and 3, where it says, Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. You know, this is a very interesting statement here. Because there are those who are going to be saved so as by fire. The holy ones find that he comes bringing his reward with him. They're rewarded. And they bow and they point all to Jesus Christ. But then there are those who believe but live carnally. They do not stand. They're like Lot. Remember Lot? Most of us preachers, if we didn't have 2 Peter chapter 2, we would say Lot was an unsaved man. We'd preach entire sermons on the unsaved man Lot, who had the opportunity around Abraham to be saved. But 2 Peter chapter 2 says that Lot was a righteous man. In other words, he was saved. But we see nothing of his life that says he's saved. But if God says a man's saved, he's saved. And he's the example of a carnal Christian, saved, but so as by fire. They did not stand up, they don't speak up, they don't serve the Lord. They'll be ashamed that they are not rewarded. 1 John 2:28, he says, And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed. Not be ashamed before him at his coming. Now think about that. That tells us that some Christians will be ashamed. They'll admire the one who saved them by his grace through faith, but their life showed no fruit, no faithfulness, no fire for Christ. Some theologians hold to the point that some will be saved so as by fire, and others will hear, Well done, good and faithful servant. And they'll share in the great glory of the Lord. And there's many reasons for that. For an example, in Revelation chapter 3, at the end of the Laodicean church, he says, Those that overcome, he'd grant to sit with him in his throne. But it seems to be just the overcoming Christians. We see that some theologians say that at the return of Christ, those that overcame, those that have rewards, those that have confidence at his appearing will be with him, whereas those saved so as by fire with no reward, those saved so as by fire not sharing in the glory, may even be left behind in heaven when Jesus comes. And the Bible doesn't say that for sure in plain stated statements, but there are some strong implications of that. And we just read here in 1 John 3, verses 2 and 3, that when people that have the hope of heaven and they have eternity set in their heart and they live like, hey, to be like him, and I measured now, as to whether or not I'll share in his glory, And so they purify themselves even as he is pure, the Bible tells us. We're reminded of Jesus' words in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 30. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. You see, now, this is not looking at the rapture. This is looking at 7 years later at the end of the tribulation when Jesus comes back and the saints are with him. It's a day of vengeance on those who have rejected Jesus Christ, those that are trying some other way to heaven, some who have bought into that false, damnable doctrine. There are many roads to heaven. Oh, no, there are not, my friend. Only through Jesus Christ, the Bible lets us know. And so, it's a time of those that have rejected Christ of great sorrow and of great fear. But it will also be a time that the saints and all, and as the text states, all them that believe will glorify Christ. And Christ will be glorified in his saints. It's interesting that only verse 10 and verse 12 uses the Greek word for to be glorified. Different words for glory, glorified, appear in the Bible, different Greek words. But there was only one Greek word that was used in this translation. And that Greek word is not used anywhere else in the Bible. And it means to appear glorious in a way that all will recognize. To appear glorious in a way that all will recognize. In other words, the unsaved, the saved, the devils, all of creation, there will be something about that appearing of Jesus Christ. Now, just think about it. Revelation chapter 1, verse 7 said all that those that had wounded him and the tribes of the earth, they would wail because of him. Think of what this coming may would be like as the heavens depart as a scroll, and there's Jesus and the armies of heaven behind him. And as he descends, they see him. And oh, for some it's fear, for some it's great glory. It is to be glorified. And notice what they'll see when he appears in Revelation 19, verses 11 through 16. It says, and I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. He treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. He hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. My friend, that spells terror to those without Christ, but admiration among the believers in Christ. Oh, the glory of the coming of Jesus Christ. If we suffer with him, and notice what Romans 8, 17, 18 says about that. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if, now that word if is a conditional word, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. I was reading of people of modern day being tortured for the cause of Christ in North Korea. There was a group of people meeting in a church and a private house, a meeting to worship the Lord. And the government people broke in the house, found them, and drug them off, and they took them in and laid them down on a road. And with their wives and children watching, they took one of those big steam rollers and rolled over their heads. Their heads would pop like bowling balls or cannons going off. And oh, how terrible to think of that sound, what that looked like, and the wife and the children beholding that. My friend, that is just hard to imagine. And that is something that is going to stick with those children all their lives. And yet that suffering, we're told here in Romans 8:18, is not worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in heaven. In other words, the degree of that suffering, percentage-wise, will seem minute and almost nothing in comparison to the percentage and the greatness of the glory that is shared by those who suffer with Christ, who stand with Him, and they take whatever persecution is coming their way. Now, don't do like some Christians. Some Christians, they get hurt and they withdraw. They look for other churches or they leave churches altogether, not realizing that God has given them an opportunity to have faith in Him, to trust Him. They have unknowingly quenched the work of the Holy Spirit, a work that the Holy Spirit of God had planned to do in them and through them. My friend, even if you sin and you are embarrassed, don't quit. Don't leave the work of God. Just remember this. Difficulties are not hindrances to faith. Rather, they are opportunities to manifest that professed faith that we say we have in our heart. Now, if you love Christ, you're going to go through those trials. So we not only admire Him, but we become vehicles by which He is glorified in us. I want you to consider these following verses in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 17. We read, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment," and that's with the idea that our life is like a vapor that appears for a little time and then passeth away. Our life, our 70 years, 80 years, 90 years, is but a vapor in comparison to eternity. This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD or cassette tape of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name, mailing address, the radio station by which you are listening, the date of the broadcast, and a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. We also welcome your comments on the broadcast and Bible questions. Again, you may write us at the same address, which is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us on the web at www.centralbaptistocala.org. No breaks. Click to the lamp and light. Again, that web address is www.centralbaptistocala.org with no break. This is your announcer, Jerry Banks, saying may God's peace be with all that are in Christ Jesus.